What up and welcome to another episode of Tilted Pod. I'm your host, Seth. Don't call me Jack Wilds. And I'm sitting here after a long time with my buddy, the Daywalker, Nathan Morris. How you doing?
What up? Doing well.
Cool, man. Well, in light of an upcoming Modern Pro Tour, we have returned from whence we came. Under the rocks we've been hiding, but we are back to talk modern, and that's all we're going to talk about.
Yeah,
just,
for sure.
Just mother modern.
We're going to go from the beginning to the end
of the time.
Of time for modern.
Modern time.
Yeah.
In the beginning, there was there was one deck.
In alpha.
Okay, so let's talk about this. Modern Pro Tour. Are you flibbing pumped?
Dude, I am so pumped for the Modern Pro Tour.
I love Modern Pro Tour. You know, I feel bad for the pros because I totally understand. Pros don't really like playing Modern Pro Tours.
Yeah.
Why? Because decks are like kind of swingy. You never really know. I don't think that this is the format that rewards skill as much as, say, Standard does, actually. Because Standard, you actually can test. There's a smaller card pool, and the better player can usually win a match. There's not so many, like, lopsided matches, right?
Yeah.
Or everybody just plays Team or Energy, you know, or would have played Team or Energy, and everybody would have been fine, and, you know.
And everybody would have
had the same, right? Everybody would have had the same percentage points on whether or not they could win. But in Modern, we don't have that, right?
Right.
We've got Affinity versus Valakut, or I don't know. We've got what are some of the most polarizing decks? We've got Burn versus Jeskai Control, or Burn versus Martyr.
Yeah,
Proc. I mean, you can't. There's just sometimes you just can't.
Yeah.
You can't win.
Like Jund versus Tron. I think that's a classic.
Yeah,
one.
Jund versus Tron, or even Jund versus Abzan. Can Jund ever actually beat Abzan?
I feel
like Abzan just beats it up all the time.
One Lingering Souls is awful. Two Lingering Souls.
Right. So I can understand the pros, you know, hesitance towards like being excited about this, since they know that. No matter how hard they... And I wonder what testing is like for something like this. I bet all testing goes to limited.
Yeah.
I bet they're like, okay, we have a deck that we like to play in Modern, and we're going to talk about what we think certain pros will be playing, and we're going to talk about some, like... I think we're going to throw out some guesses into who's going to be playing what, why, and how far we think they're going to go.
Yeah.
But in my opinion... All the pros are going to be coming down hard, not on modern testing, but they're going to be coming real hard on that limited format testing.
Yeah.
Because that's what you need, right? You got to get those three wins at the beginning.
I think so, yeah. I mean, it just becomes so much more important at the Pro Tour level to know the cards in the format rather than testing modern decks against your awful matchups. Because I feel like that's just banging your head off the wall.
Right. I think you just got to hope that you get paired up. And to be completely honest, I think that you gotta come with a degenerate deck.
Yeah.
The people who are coming with decks that are like, oh, this is a completely 50-50 deck. Nah, that's not happening. Reed Duke will not play Jund at this Pro Tour. I promise you.
Yeah, it's gonna be like Reed Duke on Boggles. Yeah. And you're like, where does that come from?
Reed, what are you doing to me, buddy?
And then he'll top eight.
So like we start out most podcasts, we're going to give you a little bit of back history into where we've been for the past 6 weeks. Nate, I'm going to let you start off. What have you been doing? Tell me what you've been doing. Magic. Tell me if you want to tell anybody personal, anything. Just get anything you want off your chest. And what have we been up to?
Open platform. Yay. Well, I'm going to get on my, let's talk about Magic first. So
cool.
I've officially given up on Sun and Moon. I'm off it.
This has only taken a year of being on the podcast.
Yeah, I know, right? A year
before
on the
you said I've officially
finally,
given up.
Finally done it. I built Jeskai Control, and you know what the best deck in Modern is right now? The most played deck? Jeskai Control. So I feel like it's in a good spot.
Played doesn't mean best, but
yeah,
yes.
I'm on the Nick Lich deck, so I'm not on the Spellquellers, Guy Saint Traff, Vendilion Click. I'm on the three Snapcasters and a Gear Hulk and a Sphinx's Revelation. Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, I hate that deck.
I Sphinxed for the other day for eight.
My opponent sphincter.
Scooped. Yeah.
Is your opponent sphincter?
Oh,
when
yeah.
You
he went. Yeah.
Got
he actually,
all tight.
He had to read the card and go, what does that do?
Because he was like, what? Who the hell were you playing against?
Yeah. Oh, it was bad.
He was a seven-year-old.
Let's not talk about it. I found him on the streets. I was like a chess kid.
All right, good.
Yeah. I gave him the other deck, too. He was playing, you know, standard. But anyway, I've been playing a lot
You're
of control.
So mean.
I know. I've been playing a lot of Jeskai control. I've been trying to test it against decks that I think are bad. I think the deck has a bad matchup against. I've played against Storm. That matchup is really hard. I've learned that I'm very rusty from a hiatus of actually playing Magic, and so I've been trying to play a lot more. I've been on X-Mage playing. I am slowly investing into MTGO now that I know Arena is not going to kill
Arena,
that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Arena will not kill MTGO, at least for some time.
A long time.
Because there's no way they're moving into Modern or Legacy anytime soon, and you can't qualify for a Pro Tour, and now that the economy has kind of come out,
yeah.
I mean, that's a whole nother podcast, and we're really not going to break in, but if you're into Modern, you're listening to this podcast, don't worry, you're safe with MTGO.
Yeah, for the foreseeable future.
Continue.
For sure. So that's where I'm at with Magic. I've been trying to play game days. I've been trying to play Friday Night Magic, just staying in the loop a little bit. Work is very busy. I've been promoted. I've been asked to do multiple different assignments that have kept me out of town, that has kept me on the road. So that's all great. My live-in girlfriend and I broke up after 4 years, so I went through that.
We're
grieving.
Going deep on this pod. I did not expect you to say this,
yeah,
but okay.
We grieved for a little bit after that. We were both just going separate ways in life, and I think that, you know, sometimes things happen for a reason. Now I'm focusing more on my career and what I do for a living and my career in Magic, and so now I feel like I have recharged my batteries and I'm ready to recommit to everything that we have promised in the past. Like,
sweet.
We're good to go.
Well, we're back. It's a new year, new me bullshit, and
yeah.
We are here. I have been playing a ton of Magic.
Oh.
A lot of Magic.
I'm going to interrupt you one more time.
Yeah.
I've also lost 32 pounds.
Congrats, dude.
Yeah. We started a weight loss journey a long time ago. We talked about it on the pod.
I've lost like 7.
I think we're in the same boat. And I've started working out twice a day. I'm on a lot of supplements.
Yeah,
I've started taking progress pictures. So
sweet.
Maybe I'll post those on the pod. Maybe not.
No, we'll see if people want to see it.
Yeah, we'll see. The ending pictures, I promise, will be much better than the beginning pictures.
Well, that's how, as all progress pictures.
Yeah.
Jack Wild's here, and I have been playing a bunch of Magic. That's about it, man. I've been working, have been playing lots and lots of Magic. Just found out I'm going to be a dad.
Congrats.
A daddy. So, again, life comes at you, and you do a lot of things. But I'm really, really excited to get this channel moving, our YouTube channel moving. We're going to be putting more. In fact, we've got a buddy in studio with us tonight. He's going to be recording a video with me. OTJ, say what up? He doesn't talk.
He didn't talk.
Then no one believes that you're here now.
Yeah, he's a mute.
So they'll see on the video, but I'm going to play a lot. I've been playing a ton of Eldrazi. I've just kind of committed that I will be the Eldrazi guy.
There
like
you go.
Eventually,
all right.
Somebody will go, that dude fucking knows Eldrazi.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm waiting. I'm constantly getting second at FNMs because I'm a BA. And playing a lot of competitive leagues, both Legacy and Modern online, and going 3-2 and 4-1. I just can't get that number one spot, dude.
Well, I mean, the last FNM you're at, you played the Eldrazi mirror, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the other guy did not have chalices to put in his Eldrazi
deck. Did not have chalices.
So tell us what he replaced those with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, he had Basilisk Caller. What else did he have main deck?
His four spots for the chalices were 2 Karns, an Ugin, and a what was the other?
Right, which Ugin isn't so great. Yeah, and an Ulamog.
Yeah, so
and
his
then and a Basilisk Caller.
Yeah, his top end
so,
was incredible.
Right, so he still had like the extra inbringers, plus he had the Metamorphos or the Metamorph and all these things. And then I'm playing like the Chalice version with like 8 dead cards.
Game
you
one.
Know, Warping Whale's main deck and everything. Like it was bad.
And there's no side end anything for you.
No,
really.
I really had nothing.
Yeah.
So that sucked. I mean, I just got crushed.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Just got crushed. But that's all right. The deck Eldrazi Tron is a crazy deck. It is so bad against the other big mana decks in the format. It blows my mind. Like, it's awful against Scapeshift. It's awful against actual Tron, any of the traditional Trons. It's awful against the even bigger Eldrazi Tron, if you just add the... So, it's weird, but it. I do think that I gain an edge by not being the big deck, and so if I'm not playing against the big mana decks, I usually I feel like my deck is positioned a little better. I'm even trying to list now, not to go, not to get too far off on it, that I'm running three main deck spatial contortions.
I like that.
And I'm even thinking about starting to run some Simeon Spirit Guides.
Wow.
Like, I'm trying to get, I'm trying to turn it into Stompy again, but like weird, like a hybrid.
I'm on board with the contortions.
Okay, the Simeon Spirit Guides are in testing right now. They're in the beta.
Okay.
And I'm not really, I don't think it's going to go through.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be two Warping Whales, three Spatial Contortions.
Okay.
And no longer playing Mind Stones.
Okay. I guess if you go turn one Temple, turn two Temple with Simeon Spirit Guide, Reality Smasher.
That's to be completely honest, though, I'll never end up playing the Simeon Spirit Guides in a real tournament.
Okay.
But taking out the Mind Stones, I think, is kind of an interesting choice.
Yeah.
People have been playing with and without them for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's kind of, now it's kind of set in stone that you want to play them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, sometimes you got to kill your idols and just see if something else will work. And I like having that either extra damage. It's crazy how much extra damage that is. Or I like kind of having that for sure kill spell on two.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting try. So far I have not lost a game or lost a match since I've been playing it, except for a match where I ghost quartered my own land against Tron instead of turning their land off. But anyways, I digress. Let's talk about this freaking Pro Tour, dude.
Yeah.
All
right. Pro Tour.
So, first of all, we're going to talk about the modern metagame in a whole.
Okay.
Going into this Pro Tour, you need to know that according to MTG Goldfish and the limited amount of data we have based on MTGO results, mm-hmm. or Magic the Gathering Online, and based on paper tournaments that get reported, here's our modern metagame breakdown. Jeskai Control was 7.42% of the meta. Does that feel realistic to you?
No.
No,
no. It
we also it have we play realistic. In a pretty small shop. TJ, we, TJ, yeah. consult TJ. Do you have? Does that feel realistic to you online?
No, he's a mute.
No, he says no.
I think it feels realistic a little bit. I'll give it a little bit. I just feel like the same people who have been playing Jeskai for a long time are always putting up results, and MTG Goldfish is a results kind of oriented website, and so you have these people who just play and play and play and play, and they always do well. They're always getting.
There are a lot. You know, there are a lot of people who love this deck and have never put it down, and they're finally showing up.
Yes, and I will say that this deck is hard to play. It's harder to play than a lot of decks that you can just pick up. It's not like Grixis Death Shadow hard to play, but I think it's in the same realm.
Within any control deck, there are a lot of decisions. Inherently, you have to know the format to play decks like this.
Yeah.
So, yes, it is more difficult for somebody who's breaking into the format than...
And so I think that for any of the newer players of Modern, or even the casual players of Modern or moderate players of Modern, I think they stray away from the control builds of Magic.
Right.
And I think the tempo version is even
harder
to play.
Actually, you know what? I find new players wanting to play control a lot, too, though.
Yeah,
it's
weird. That's true.
They,
but
like,
they
really
normally
want to play control because you have catch-all answers like Supreme Verdicts and things like that, where they're like, oh, cool, I just win now.
But I also think that
I don't think they play it well. I'm just saying I find it.
Yeah.
I think they find it appealing.
Yeah.
I
think this one is, I think MTG Goldfish is also rolling up Jeskai Control with Jeskai Tempo.
Right. And they are similar. One has much different end games, but the cards are essentially the same.
I mean, kinda.
They're within 10 cards.
10 cards is stretching it.
Okay. I mean, well, either way, you know what I mean. They're essentially.
We digress.
Okay, but so coming in second place, it's often in this place. Affinity, If you watch my YouTube video about the top five cards in Modern, I 100% think that Mox Opal is the best card in Modern. Almost like it is so badass whenever you have it in the right deck. And Affinity, it's literally the reason Affinity is still around. Like,
yeah,
Arcbound Ravager and Mox Opal are why you can play this deck, because you get a Mox and no one else does.
Yeah. The fact that your turn one lets you put down four cards and a two drop is just
it's
unbelievable.
It's so sick. Yeah. So there's been some cool changes to Affinity, right? There's been a lot of Affinity decks. We've got Tabergan's Pieter Tabergan. Pieter is all about some thought cast, right? He's a big proponent of thought cast. Playing Island in the main deck, just two Galvanic Blasts, playing some Welding Jars. That's kind of one style of Affinity that's become really popular. Mm-hmm. There is another style of Affinity that is starting to become more and more popular, and I'm trying out right now, and that is the just to the dome Affinity with Bomat Couriers, mm-hmm. right? So then there's like regular Affinity where you just have four blasts, you know? Mm-hmm. Then there's even the most extreme red, which is like Bomat Couriers, none of the two drops besides Arcbound Ravager,
yeah,
and Shrapnel Blast, and you just go like smash, yeah. You know, like it's all fire.
I really like that. I also really like the
Either way. I can see the deck going either way,
and I like some of the black that Affinity's been smashing, you know what I mean? Like at the Columbus Open, a guy had a Bitter Blossom in his sideboard, three Thoughtseize.
I've seen some Bitter Blossoms in sideboards.
I'm not
Thoughtseize is pretty big in the sideboard of like, but as a main deck splash, it's kind of, they're divided. It's either your Thoughtcast or your Galvanic Blast.
Yeah.
And now that some people are even stretching out to a Shrapnel Blast, like, why not?
I agree.
You know, it does so much damage. So, Affinity, okay, does this feel like 7% of the meta to you? I think 100%.
100%,
it feels like everybody and their mom plays Affinity.
Yeah.
TJ, can you confer our MTGO?
And their Affinity. Mom.
No, he doesn't think it feels like 7% of the meta. Oof. You don't play against it that much? I play against it all the time online. Okay, so we got some conflicting results here. But Affinity, I think, is a good choice. At the Pro Tour, I think Affinity will be played.
I think it is one of
the best linear aggro decks in the format.
And I think Affinity has a lot of lines that people don't see. So
I think skilled players make it much better.
Yeah, when you're playing a skilled player playing Affinity, you are in a much different boat.
Here's the problem, though, with the Pro Tour. You have to assume that your opponent is also skilled.
Yes.
You're at the Pro Tour.
Yeah.
Now, it's not just that you need to be skilled with Affinity. They need to not understand what's happening.
Correct.
That's where I think most Affinity players win matches, is by their opponent not understanding the interactions and when is the right time on the stack to kill something.
Yeah.
Arcbound Ravager is a tricky card.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Grixis Death Shadow, number three. What do you think about this? It's 6% of the, almost 7% of the meta.
I mean, I think it's been one of the most consistent best decks that Modern has seen in a while.
Yeah, I think it might be the new Affinity style. Like, it's always going to be there.
Yeah, I know that some builds have taken Tasigur down to one. Some have taken him to zero. Some have left him at two. They're just going with Big Fish. I don't know how I feel about that, so to say. But I think the deck is always going to be good. The sideboard, I think, is where you get the most play with. And so I like that. It's just, I feel like it just has a okay matchup against everything. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, I think
there's
it is
no
like kind of the new Jund.
Yeah.
It's kind of the new Jund. I think this is, again, the closest to a legacy deck you can play in Modern.
Yeah.
And I think there will be plenty of pros who like the playability of this deck. This is your 50% deck. It is no longer Jund. This is the deck that you... So there's Jessup's. They came out with this new version, and I mean, they didn't come out with it, but they got third place at the Dallas Open in the team constructed event, and they were playing four Gurmag Anglers, four Stubborn Denials, four Ops, and two Dismembers, two Teamer Battle Ridges main. So they were like all on that 4-4-4-4 plan. Really wild. Just saying, like, forget Tasker, let's just play Fish. I think it's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But I do love that Young Pyromancer has become a big part of the sideboard.
Yeah.
And I think Opt is really good for that. And Snapcaster Opt is really good.
I think the no Culligans in the main is kind of...
it's wild, but at the same time, like,
puts you dead to a couple things.
It does, but Storm, or like, there's so many combo decks in the format now that you just gotta, yeah, get them. All right, so number four on the list in the metagame breakdown is Tron. This is green, black Tron, mono green Tron. This is just Tron in general. This isn't a specific Tron.
Not Eldrazi Tron, but Tron.
Not Eldrazi. Yes, that is correct. Yeah. Okay, so Tron. This is, I'm gonna call Seth Manfield playing Tron. I'm gonna call him top eighting.
What, with Tron?
Yeah. I think Seth Manfield will play Tron. I think it's either Tron or Burn, and I think he's going to go Tron based on the fact that the last... what did he play Tron? What GP was that he crushed with Tron?
Oh, I don't remember.
And he just picked it up, too. Yeah. He was just like, yeah, I just decided to play Tron this GP and just ran through the whole tournament.
Yeah.
I think the deck is extremely good. I don't think there's like a ton of play to it. Right, I think it does one thing specifically.
But it's so good at it.
But I do think that you can be better. I just think that your cards are so powerful. Like, trust me, there are good players with Tron and bad players with Tron, but I don't think that it's like you have small decisions. We have a Tron player in the room and TJ who won't answer any of our questions. But Tron, how many Tron decks do you see in the Pro Tour? Do you think it'll be a big deck? Do you think it'll be a big player? Couple in the top 16.
That's I kind of agree with that. I honestly could see a green black list and a mono green list both in the top 16.
Yeah, and I don't even care which versions they are, but I guarantee you we will see Tron. Now, I do not think we will see Eldrazi Tron in the top 16 at the Pro Tour. The only person I know who might get it there is Sam Pardee. He's also good at limited, but I don't think he will play it.
Yeah, I mean, probably right.
But, okay, anyway, so Tron, everybody knows what Tron does. Wyrmcoil's really good. Karn's really good. Ugin's good. All these things are good. It's just a deck built on making 7 mana on turn 3. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just what it does. Mm-hmm. And if you get that, sometimes it's really hard to lose.
I think that Tron, if they can avoid the Storm decks, I feel like they have a really good shot of winning. You know what I mean? Like, I could even see Tron winning the Pro Tour if they just dodge the Storm deck. Like, I think they have enough play against Scapeshift. I think they have enough play against all of the smaller decks.
Yeah.
They just have to avoid Storm and Affinity, I feel like.
With Infect no longer in the format player, I think Tron is a better deck, right? At the Pro Tour, I don't think there's going to be many Infect players.
Yeah.
All right, so... moving on, we are at Burn. Burn is a deck that I can see people playing because some people just are like, whatever, I'm just going to burn you, dude.
Yeah.
And Burn has been on this meteoric rise as of late.
Yeah.
Like, why has it become such a big, again, almost 7% of the meta? Why is this deck jumping? Essentially, you've got nothing new. Do you guys have any insight into why you think this deck is all of a sudden becoming popular again? Is it the uptick in humans?
I think it's a multitude of things. I think it's the uptick in humans. I think it's the uptick in Storm. I mean, because an Eidolon against Storm has got to be the worst feeling in the world, game one. I can't imagine anything worse. The uptick in Scapeshift. I know Burn has decent play against Scapeshift. Sometimes they have Corsair Crew Fix or Obstinate Baylaw, something to gain a little bit of life, but they can kind of play around that. So I think the fact that all of the harder decks for Storm for Burn to take care of are on the downside, that Burn is now on the upslide. And I think that that's pretty good for them. I will say that Burn, like Affinity, is much better in a skilled player's hands because they just see lines that you don't normally see.
Right. They're not just going to go main phase bolt
all
the time. Unless it's needed.
I mean, sure. You know, we've had players in our meta who just, you know, main phase skull crack you for no reason.
Yeah, skull, that's the best. I forget about that.
Yeah, skull crack.
That's okay, though. They're learning. They're learning. So, Burn. I do think that we will see Burn at the Pro Tour. I think it'll be there. I think we will see it on camera.
It won't top 8 though. I'm saying it'll top 16. It won't top 8.
Okay, I feel you. Humans, is humans the real deal? Yes, it is. Is humans good enough as a linear aggro deck to make top 8 of the Pro Tour?
I'll say yes, because of one card that they run in their deck.
Aether Vial?
Meddling Mage.
I was like, wait, Aether Vial's the best.
No.
Yeah, Meddling Mage
makes that deck happen.
Well, now they're only running three copies of it for the most part because they're running also like four copies of Phantasmal Image.
Yes. They've really gone
up
with
like so many humans in this deck. It's ridiculous. 37 creatures in the average human deck, four Aether Vials, and then lands. That's it. Just all creatures.
But I think we've seen really how good some of these creatures can be against certain decks. I mean,
well, none of these creatures do nothing. I mean,
that's true. Yeah, but like Meddling Mage against Storm is just so good. Kitesail Freebooter is just good against literally every deck in the format. I mean, because you're always looking to take a kill spell. You land a Kitesail, and then next turn you're swinging in with a Manus, filing in something gross. You know, like there's just. Right. So many avenues to go down with this deck, but it also beats itself because none of these creatures can stand on their own.
No, and I've found whenever they run out of, if you can weather the storm and kind of push back that first wave of humans, you almost always win.
Yeah.
They don't have a late game, I feel like, at all.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, they don't have a way to draw cards. They can draw Manus Riders. If they can get you low enough, they can kind of hit you down. But you have to weather that first storm. So they're going to come at you with a lot right at the beginning. And if you can survive, you're probably good. I have not lost to them yet with Eldrazi Tron.
I haven't lost with Jeskai Control either.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, if you can pick off the things at the right time.
Yeah.
I don't see this as a Pro Tour deck.
No. I see it.
I think it's a great deck, and I do think it's extremely powerful, but.
I see it as a deck that isn't powerful enough to really get through all of the other decks.
I just don't. I don't see. Like, I don't think a pro wants to go in and be like, God, I hope they don't have a bunch of bolts in their hand.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think a pro wants to be like, I got a bunch of bolts in my hand.
Yeah, I hope they're playing humans. I think humans and merfolk are like the two decks that I put on the not great at the Pro Tour list right now.
Yeah, I don't see these beatdown decks. I think if you're going to play a beatdown deck, you're going to play Affinity.
Yeah.
Because Affinity is more than just a beatdown deck.
Yeah.
Coming up next is 4% of the meta is Eldrazi Tron, and there are a couple versions of Eldrazi Tron like we've been talking about. There are the versions that have Worm Coils and Ulamogs and Karns, and they're kind of a hybrid. Or there are the versions that are just like four Endbringers, a couple more removal spells and like Warping Whales. But we all play four Walking Ballistas and we play four Thought Not Seers and Reality Smashers. I think this deck is really good. But again, this is one of those decks I just don't know if I see it as a Pro Tour deck. If I was a betting man, though, and I'll make a bet, that I think if we do see Eldrazi Tron in like the top 16, it's going to be from Sam Pardee.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be his four Endbringer version.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there'll be some sort of bit of spice. But then again, see, part of me wants to go against that because some pros aren't going to want to play the modern deck that they're associated with. Like we know we're almost certain that Sam Black is going to play Lantern Control.
Almost
right?
certain, yeah.
And I feel like we're almost certain that Seth Manfield is going to either play Burn or Tron.
Yep.
And I'm kind of leaning towards Tron from his last outgo. Sam Pardee is pretty known for innovating Eldrazi Tron a little bit.
Well, I think he played in the mocks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago and got eighth, I think.
With
Eldrazi Tron.
Yeah, and then he also played in that team GP and top eighted with Eldrazi Tron. I mean, I think he's starting to become known for this deck. Because he switched it from what, you know, other people were doing, Todd Stevens and stuff. What other pros? We're pretty sure John Finkel's going to play Storm.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's what Johnny Magic does. He plays Storm. He loves Storm.
Yeah. Same with Caleb, you know.
Yeah. Caleb Sure, and who is playing in this Pro Tour. We're almost positive he's going to be playing Storm. But what is like... So I remember when Joe Lossett went into... Remember when SCG had the 50K tournament, the Players' Championship tournament?
Yeah,
I kind of wish they didn't stop doing that. But
yeah.
He went in, and everyone knows that he is known... Joe Lossett, known for Miracles and Legacy. Mm-hmm. Well, he went to this 50K tournament, and I mean, I guess it makes more sense because it's a smaller tournament than the Pro Tour, but he decided to play Reanimator instead of Miracles. So people would not... so he could catch people off guard.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was prepared for him bringing miracles, and he brought Reanimator instead, thinking no one else was going to do that. Do you think there's any pros who were, is it worth it even in this format to try to do a little, you know, oop? And,
no, I don't think so. No. Not in modern. I think the...
You're probably right.
The matches are so... The match percentage
and the,
is
and
so
the tournament
far away.
Is probably big enough that there's no, you're not like worried. But do you want to be the guy known like, okay, I know this dude's playing this deck?
Kinda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it influences mulligans. I think it influences a lot. So if you're willing to mulligan based on the fact you know what I'm playing, sure.
Right.
You know.
All right. So we've got a couple other decks to talk about. We're going to kind of lump these together, and these are going to be like the combo decks. Okay.
Combo.
So Titan Shift. How many do you think you see in the top 16? Do you think it is a pro deck?
I think it's a pro deck.
You do?
I do. I think that we'll see different variations of it as far as, you know, X number of this, X number of that. But I think that it is definitely a top 16 deck, and we'll see one in the top 8. I see one.
Okay. As Foretold or Living End? Ooh. The combination of the two or just old school Living End?
Combination of the two.
You do think we'll see the new...
Yeah.
Ask for Told Living In?
Tom, I've been following Tom for a while. We met this guy in Morgantown. He's been working on the...
He just got second in the Classic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he just got second in the Classic. His list is kind of blown up right now. Grats, Tom. He's been working on that list since we've started playing with him.
A long time. We can go ahead and talk about this list real fast if you want.
When Ask for Told came out...
This is Tom Medvick. He is from Morgantown. I think he's from Morgantown. Player, Morgantown, West Virginia, for all y'all people outside of this area. Mm-hmm. This is his list. I'll just go over it real quick. Tom Medvick, shout outs to you. Second at the SCG Classic in Philadelphia. It is 2 Jace Friends Prodigies, 4 Deceiver Exarch. What? 2 Simeon Spirit Guides, 3 Kiki Jiki Mirror Breakers. 4 Grizzlebrand, 4 Ancestral Visions, not Ancient Vision, 3 Living End, 4 Faithless Looting, 3 Lightning Axe, 4 Goryeo's Vengeance, 4 Izzet Charms, 4 As Foretolds. Lands, whatever. We got some. We got a Talaria West in there, etc. So the idea of this deck is to go off and just win, right? I mean, it's not, you know, you want to get your Deceiver Exarch and your Kiki Jiki Living End back. You also have, like, I like the Goryeo's Vengeance, your Snapcaster Mage, you know, and the, or not Snapcaster, I'm sorry, Jace Friend's Prodigy, flip it and then get it back. I think this deck is really cool. Have you seen anybody else kind of trying to pick this up?
No, I haven't seen anybody try and pick up this version. There's been a couple As Foretold experiments I've seen.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anything quite like this. And Tom showed me this deck on a piece of paper after he killed me in States playing Scapeshift. Or actually, he was on Titan Shift.
Right.
Yeah, and he said, I'm working on this deck right now. And the deck looked cool then. It looks cool now.
And deck looks awesome. I mean, I think it's a little silly.
I know Jerry T was tweeting about it.
Yeah,
today or yesterday.
I think the deck is a little silly, but I also think that it's one of those decks that, like, dude, if you play it something like this long, you know, and you keep working on it and keep honing it, and no one else knows what the hell you're doing, you're going to win some games.
I mean, if you don't know what he's doing and you can't understand when stuff is going to happen.
And you have to interact with him on multiple levels. Yeah. I do like that he has the sneak attack. Like, I'll just kill you with Kiki Jiki playing a Deceiver Exarch and go infinite.
Yeah.
Or I'll get you from the graveyard.
Yeah.
Or I'll get you, you know, like, and he's got, like, Grixis control, basically, once you sideboard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is cool. It is cool. There's many one-ofs in the sideboard. They're crazy.
Yeah, he Faithless Looting's Kiki Jiki into the graveyard, play a Deceiver Exarch, block your creature, it dies, and then Living Ends for the win. I mean, that seems pretty good.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. And I think As Foretold is better than people, like, are giving it credit for right now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's starting to kind of show up a lot, though, in Blue Black. So you do think that we might see an As Foretold list?
I think a
traditional Living End?
Yeah, I think Living End will be there for sure. I'm not sure we'll see an As Foretold list. But I think Living End is one of those sneaky decks like Boggles where you can see it kind of making waves but not getting all the way to the end.
What about Dredge?
It depends on whether or not Tom Ross. I can't think of his name right now.
Hundreds?
Ross Merriam. It depends on if Ross Merriam's
there.
He's
not on the Pro Tour.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think he made Pro Tour this year.
I don't think we'll see Dredge.
What about this Mardu Pyromancer deck that has been popping up everywhere?
I want to see that at the Pro Tour.
You do want to see it?
I want to see it.
I don't think it's quite good enough.
I don't know if it's good enough. I like the combination that it's trying to bring to the table, and so I like that. I want to see it do well.
How many copies of Storm will be in the top 16?
Top 16, 5.
Woo! That is hot right there. That is a bold statement.
Five Storm
copies
decks.
Of Storm.
Yeah.
All right.
Caleb will be in the top 8.
Here's what? You think Caleb sure will be in the top 8?
Top 8 for sure.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so for a couple of reasons. Not because he's not good at Storm. He's really, really great at Storm. But I don't know how much he's... This is his, not his first Pro Tour, but his second?
Second.
And he wasn't even able to go to his first Pro Tour.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think it's a different stage. I am rooting for him some, but I think limited is a big deal.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
So to make top 8, you got to have a good limited record or you're just out of it.
Yeah.
But I do wish him the best. And I think the fact that everyone knows he's on Storm is, you know, I don't think that's a great thing. Right?
Yeah.
You know. So we'll see. What about Blue Red Breach? What do you think?
No.
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 Nothing.
If you're playing, I think if someone's playing Blue Red Breach, they make it to the Pro Tour, I think you just go into Jeskai Control.
Right.
Like,
I can see that.
I think you just pour it over to that.
Lantern Control, top 8?
Top 8's a little ambitious.
I can see Sand Black making top 8 with Lantern Control.
I can see Sand Black.
With War of Inventions.
Yeah, I can see it making it to top 8.
He's also a very good limited player when he needs to.
That's really where it is. Like, I think if Sand Black can do it, then yes, I see it in the top 8. But I don't think anybody else but him playing Lantern can do it. It's just such a hard deck to play through, and you really have to know the deck extremely well to play fast, to
it's
not get
caught.
It's
the type of deck that pros like, though.
It is. I'm also on the ban it list for Lantern Control.
What do you ban, though?
I don't know what you ban from that deck, honestly.
Lantern of Insight? Like, I mean
that's
all
the name
other,
card, right?
All the other cards, like, but none of them are that powerful. They're not doing anything. You know what I mean?
And
it just might be boring. It's like banning top because of Miracles was boring, and I understand that. But I do know that every time I've gone, like, 4-1, it's the one deck I'm losing to, and it's annoying. That, like, it seems to always find me right at the edge of about to win, and then
it's also Lantern. The worst to play someone who hasn't gotten a lot of experience with the deck.
Oh, I appreciate somebody who's good with it. Yeah.
And you're just like, dude, you want me to play this deck for you? Like, I know you got me on lockdown, but you don't even see it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's frustrating when they have to fumble their way through it just to beat you. And it's like, oh my Lord.
Here's my thing. Okay. I am Counters Company. Do you find it to be in the,
yes.
Counters Company. Okay, so black or blue splash?
Blue.
I'm going to go blue as well.
Yeah.
I think Spellqueller is too good of a card right now.
Spellqueller is the truth. I think that card will catch a lot of people off guard. It'll also save a lot of matchups when it needs to.
All right, here's another one. Prison decks.
No, absolutely not.
Zero prison decks.
Yeah.
I could see a mono-red prison. I don't think white-red. I think mono-red, possibly.
I mean, I know that they just got, you know, Blood Sun.
It's not even that.
I think
Ensnaring Bridge is pretty good.
Ensnaring Bridge is pretty good right now, except for when you're playing Storm, Scapeshift, you know, all that other stuff.
Right. Understandable for that. But
anything that plays
Karn. No prison decks.
I don't think Prison will make it to Pro Tour. I don't think Prison is a deck that pros like to play. I just don't think.
I agree.
I think
there's going to be random other people there, though. I think they're going to try to capitalize on that.
But, like, Lantern Control is a deck pros like to play because of the decisions, because of the playability of it.
Right.
Prison, you're banking all in.
Your draws and, whether or not. Just like how Mono Red Sneak Attack is just an awful deck in Legacy. I mean, it wins a ton of games, but it's an awful deck because you have so many cards that do nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, a couple more decks. A deck that's become very popular, Hollow One. Black Red Hollow One was the flavor of the month about a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now it is, they've officially been like, yeah, that's not the right version. Let's play the green version and sometimes it's even teamer. So it's either green, red, or teamer, or black, red, Hollow One. Any Hollow One decks, do you see them?
No.
There's some of them are good. They're popping up a lot.
I can see. I think that deck just has a hard time against control or has a hard time against Storm. I just don't think it's fast enough to beat out some of the other decks. Where Affinity, I think, is fast enough to win a lot of its games based on, you know, the seven that they draw, right?
Right.
I don't know that Hallowed One has a seven that is just auto win. You know what I mean? Like, free win.
Right.
I think Affinity has those. I think Storm has those. Scapeshift has those. But Hallowed One, I think, is a good deck. It's a consistent enough deck to be there. I just don't think it's the best deck to be playing at the Pro Tour. So I don't think we'll see it.
Okay. How about decks like Eldrazi and Taxes or Death and Taxes?
This is an interesting question. So
this is the one I want to see.
Yeah, this is the one I want to see. And I think that if we get somebody who has been playing the deck a while, that we could see it somewhere near
right.
the top.
This is a deck that I think is really good in the hands of certain people mm-hmm. and really good based on matchups. Mm-hmm. And you have to really know. I don't know. It's a deck that I would like to see in the top 16, top 8 even.
Yeah.
But I don't know how many pros will pick it up. When there's so many other decks that are like so degenerate and so good when going unchecked, it's hard to be like, yeah, let me play Eldrazi and Taxes or just regular mono white Death and Taxes or, well, a Magic Online, like I've been talking about, man, this blue white Death and Taxes has been blowing up and it's just like here and there, it's just awesome, you know, playing spell quellers and stuff. Right. And you still have all the hate, and I really think Leonin Arbiter is hot right now.
I do too. I think that card is much better than people are giving it credit for.
But I have a hard time believing that a pro would be like, yeah, let's play this.
Yeah, I like the fact that it's running. If it were me to pick one of them, I would probably pick Eldrazi and Taxes, mainly because, you know, Wasteland Strangler and Thought Not Seer and Flicker Wisp do their thing. Displacer's in there. You also get Thalia. You have Tidehauler Scholar in there somewhere. You have a bunch of Disruption, and then Arbiter's real good, and I feel like your clock's there.
You have a sick amount of play.
Yeah.
It is the most frustrating deck, though, when you're playing it and just losing with it. It's really hard to, I don't know, it's hard to deal with it. It's like, it feels like you run out of things to, like, you have so much play and so many tricks, but then when you're behind, it feels like you're so behind in that deck.
And I feel like, but the Taxes deck do get some of the best sideboard cards in the format.
Well, any white deck.
Yeah, I mean, Stony Silence.
Stony Silence, Rest in Peace. What's the Storm cards? Why can't I think of them? Well, Mirren Crusader, great against.
Yeah. Aven Mindsensor's in there.
Aven Mindsensor. What is the Storm can't play more than one spell per turn? Rule of Law and Spirit of Labyrinth?
Yeah.
No, Spirit of Labyrinth, you can't draw more than one card.
Yeah, that's the good one.
No. What's the Storm? You can't cast more than one non-artifact. Eidolon of Rhetoric?
Yeah, Eidolon of Rhetoric.
Yeah. So, yeah, Eidolon of Rhetoric. So, yeah, I don't know. I think White does have the best sideboard cards.
Yeah.
Do you think that we will see Jund, Abzan, or any other form of
mid-range,
classic mid-range strategy?
Ooh, man. I mean, Jund is really behind the eight ball in the format right now. We are so fast and modern that Tarmogoyf isn't good. And that's really hard to say.
Yeah, man, I wish I would have waited even longer to buy Tarmogoyf. It took me forever, but now I really wish I would have just held off.
Yeah, Tarmogoyf isn't good.
He's bad in all formats right now.
Yeah, so I don't think Jund's it. Abzan can ride a couple cards to the top, but it'd be hard. I just don't see Abzan doing it either. You know what I mean? I just don't think mid-range is in a good spot. I can't think of a single mid-range deck that I would really back to go high in the tournament. I mean, I like the new Tamir mid-range deck. I think that deck's cool, playing Huntmaster and stuff like that. But
I don't think it's good enough to be.
I don't think it's good enough to do that either. I don't see any mid-range decks.
All right, let's play a little bit of a game.
Pro Tour
Hunt game. By the way, we are putting out YouTube videos every week. Just a little note. We are giving out packs to new subscribers on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed to us on YouTube, jump on, subscribe to us. If you also would like to be entered to win packs, 4 packs a week, get on iTunes, give us a review. follow, like, subscribe, do whatever you can to help the show. We, like I said, we've been trying to make content. The podcast has been a little bit
stagnant,
but the video content has been coming out. So do what you can to support, and we really appreciate it. Hopefully we'll actually even get some merch soon. BCW Supplies, we'd like to thank them because they have sent us stuff, and all their stuff is pretty fire. In fact, we are on a table full of BCW mats, those mono black mats. I love
them. They're fire. Yeah, they're really awesome. I'm gonna steal this green one sometime.
Yeah. We'll see about that. But we're gonna play a little game, and we've kind of been playing the game the whole time. We're gonna say, but TJ's gonna come in on this game and mention what he thinks. We're gonna go with, let's say, first round is gonna be the winning deck. That's like a hard thing to choose. All right, let's say that the most represented deck at the Pro Tour. What do you think it is?
100% Storm.
Storm?
100% Storm.
All right, yeah. TJ is up next.
He's shy. Grixis Death Shadow. It was like a fucking whisper.
You can not hear TJ because he's a little wiener man.
we made him up.
Grixis Death Shadow is what TJ said, in case you did not hear, because no one did, because he's a figment of my imagination. I think, all right, Grixis Death Shadow is number one. I think the number one deck. Oh man, Grixis Death Shadow is a pretty good call. Number one deck in the Pro Tour, though. Number one represented deck. I'm going to go Affinity.
I like that. I like Affinity.
It probably isn't, but yeah. I'm going to go with Affinity because
I feel like Affinity and
a lot of people like that deck.
Yeah.
And there are going to be quite a few people there that are just like, this deck is fast and hard to beat.
Yeah.
It also has like the worst matchup post-sideboard, but it might be the number one game one deck.
Yeah.
I think all of them. I think we're all smart.
We're all smart people.
Let's just go ahead and pick who we think is going to win the Pro Tour. You got a pro in mind that you think is going
to
win?
I mean, I'm going to ride the Storm train all the way to first place, and Caleb gets his win.
Okay.
I think that's the best.
No pro pick? I'm going Seth Manfield.
Yeah.
He's been on a tear.
He is doing well.
I just can't. I mean, maybe it's time his tear ends, but I'm just going to go Seth Manfield. What do you think about Sean McLaren, though, dude? Your boy.
Jeskai
Control's back, and Sean McLaren is kind of the dude.
Yeah. I think Jeskai Control will show up, but man, that deck has a lot of trouble against some other decks. And I think Todd Stevens is going to get first place.
Todd Stevens?
Yeah.
But he's not playing.
No, he's still going to get first.
Okay. In your heart?
Yeah. I mean, he's already got first.
You're so weird.
I'm giving him the trip right now.
Speaking of Todd Stevens, he is on the BCW team, and Nate just loves it that we're even affiliated with him at all.
Dude, yeah. I mean, it's like me and Todd Stevens are brothers now.
Yeah, you should try getting a hold of him.
No, hard pass.
He could probably come on the podcast if we asked.
No, I've said some weird things about him.
Yeah, you have. Yeah. That's true. But I think that's pretty much it for this week, man. What do we have to look forward to? We got the Pro Tour coming up. After that, we've got a modern GP, mm-hmm. Indianapolis.
Yep. We're going to try and send some people there. I'm going to try and go to that.
I will not be at that. My band is playing. My album comes out. We will be. Also, my band's album is coming out. It'll be on Spotify and iTunes. And if you are a listener of the show and you want it, just let me know and I will send it to you.
Snap.
It's pretty cool.
Perks of being a fan.
Yeah. But again, we are giving away packs. I'm going to, on the video tonight, we are going to announce last week's winner for packs on the old YouTubes,
mm-hmm.
as my grandma says.
The YouTubes.
But all right, thanks again. And I'm Seth. Don't call me Jack Wilds. This is Nate Daywalker Morris. We're Tilted Pod, and we out.
Ciao.